The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to Mark. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord God, open our hearts and our minds to perceive your presence here with us this day. Speak to us through your word, and may we learn the lessons of the wilderness from you, Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The New York City taxi cab pulled to the curb and we climbed in. Because there wasn't enough room for all of us in the back, I was given the privilege of riding in the front passenger side. This gave me full view of the obstacles that would threaten to impede our journey, obstacles that the cab driver did his best to ignore altogether. It was as if by ignoring that they existed, he hoped they'd just go away. The obstacles he did his best to ignore were things such as pedestrians, city buses, other cars, a delivery truck, and even a road maintenance crew. I sat in shock as obstacles whizzed into view, first on the right and then on the left. There were times when I was certain we were going to collide with one. A car tried to merge in front of us, and it got so close that I'm not sure I could have fit a credit card between the fender of the cab and that car. What was truly stunning was how many times an obstacle would come into view threatening to block our path, and our driver would respond by pushing down hard on the accelerator. It was quite amazing to see the speeds that could be reached on a congested city street, upwards of 60 miles an hour at times, I assure you. This lead foot was employed consistently, but sometimes the obstacles were getting really close to the cab, and this, he added a special technique of sounding the horn. It really looked like we might collide a couple of times, and to these instances, he added the exclamation of a few choice words that are not the kind of words I should repeat in a sermon on Sunday morning. I was truly ready to kiss the pavement when we finally arrived at our destination safely. That was the worst cab ride I have ever had. I suspect many of you have some good stories to tell about your own cab rides. I came to the conclusion that day that riding a cab in New York City was far more of a thrill ride than what one experiences on the dizzying heights and speeds of roller coasters. We were taken for a ride that day. There wasn't much we could do about it. It all happened so fast, we couldn't get out. There was little hope of calmly talking to the cab driver about driving more carefully. All we could do was hold on tight and hope for the best. And it strikes me that life can be like that sometimes. It is as if we're being driven somewhere, and sometimes it's somewhere we don't want to go, through a time of loss or grief or sorrow or despair or anger. The circumstances are beyond our control, and there's nothing we can do to get out of it. We simply have to sit back and hold on tight. Today we're considering Jesus in the wilderness, and I find in this story a powerful metaphor for the seasons of our lives. The wilderness, the desert, is a deserted place for a reason. There isn't much there to draw people, and it's a dangerous place. Dehydration can be serious and even fatal. In a dry, arid region where sources of water are hard to find, there's a very real risk of dying of thirst. In my times in Death Valley, I came across several stories of tourists who underestimated the amount of water they needed as they headed out into remote wilderness areas, then had car trouble, and within short order, they died of thirst. Jesus is embarking on a season, 40 days, where he will be stretched and challenged. The limits of his human body will be tested. And he has come to a place of great danger. Today we have Mark's account of this, and it's absent of most of the usual details. Mark is blunt and terse. He simply gives us the bare minimum. What was it like, do you suppose, for Jesus to spend that extended time in the desert? He was alone, without food, and in real danger. The metaphor of the wilderness points us to seasons in our lives where we find ourselves lacking companionship, lacking resources, in danger, or in difficulty. And what is your reaction when you face such a time in your life? Our natural human inclination is to flee. We try to avoid such situations in life. We don't like pain. And so when faced with a wilderness season, we may try to distract ourselves or find some means of escape, just like I wanted to get out of that cab in New York City. But what if that instinct is not really what will serve us best in such situations? What if we've been driven to the wilderness for a reason? I note here how Mark's blunt description highlights this. The Spirit drove Jesus to the wilderness. I almost envision Jesus sitting in the back of a cab being whisked off to the wilderness by the Spirit. Now, I'm sure he went willingly, but isn't it interesting how he came to this wilderness season of 40 days of fasting and temptation? The Spirit drove him there. The word in the Greek combines the verb to throw with the preposition out or away from. Jesus had literally been thrown out into the wilderness by the Spirit. There he encounters Satan, but it wasn't Satan who drove Jesus there. It was the Spirit who was behind the wheel. And this gives me pause. If the Spirit of God drove Jesus into the wilderness, might there also be times when God sends us into dark seasons of our lives, intending to bring about special goodness within us? Might there be something for us in the wilderness, something we need to embrace rather than flee from? What if to really receive all that God wants to give us, we must embrace the wilderness season? Sometimes, perhaps, our restless spirits just need to sit with the pain, the challenge, and the deprivation, and wait. Might it not be possible for us as well that the Spirit will lead us into the wilderness season? And of course, that's possible. But why might the Spirit of God do this to us? Surely God is love. It's not his intention to torture us or make us miserable. When you spend time in a desert, in the wilderness, there's something that happens. I've visited some remote sections of Death Valley where I was alone. a 2-hour Jeep ride away from the visitor areas. I was miles from cell phone coverage. I was miles from people, from anyone. At first, the experience can be quite unsettling. It takes a while for the internal clock to readjust and slow down. It's like, for me, there was like this constant zap in my heart that I should be doing something. That zap kept reminding me that my identity is not found in what I do. Far beyond doing, it's found in being. And then there are wild thoughts that come along. Thoughts that I haven't given myself time to think in my normal, fast-paced life. Thoughts that now that I have time come rushing at me. It can be quite frightening. Henry Nouwen refers to these as monkeys jumping around banana trees. Or he also speaks of the abject fear we face of our internal emptiness. So much of our self-esteem can be based on the things we do, doing things. But if one sits in the remote, barren wilderness long enough, one begins to feel the silence. The quiet peacefulness of the vast, rugged emptiness becomes palpable. And in that silence, there is a calm, a peace, a towering silence of strength. The solitude becomes a strength. The fears become trust in Him who holds all things, who allowed me to go into the wilderness in the first place. Things begin to come into clearer view in the desert and in the silence. One finds God, whose presence is always with us. One begins to realize that God was there all along, back out in that mad rush of the New York City cab rides of our lives. He was there. In that moment of profound loss, He was there. In that situation that made me so angry, He was there. In that moment of fear, He was there. In that moment of loneliness, He was there. It was just that I was going too fast to be aware of that presence, rushing to fill my wilderness with activity. But on wilderness time, in solitude, in silence, my spirit gradually awakens and begins to become aware of what it's known all along, the presence of God is near. And in this, we find that the metaphor comes to life. For you know that you don't have to literally go to Death Valley or some desert to find God. He is with you everywhere. But sometimes, quite often, in fact, we need to go to the metaphorical desert in our lives, to times of quiet, solitude, even times where we embrace the difficulties, sit with our pain in a season of loss, stay present in moments of conflict, and embrace our fears. In the emptiness of the desert, revealing as it does the emptiness within, we find the fullness of God. There's a wonderful little book about this written by a person who spent time as a monk in the literal desert of Palestine. But he realized at one point in his life that not everyone has the ability to go to the desert. And so he wrote a book called The Desert in the City to help everyone find the wisdom of the desert in ordinary life. In his book, Carlo Coretto says that finding peace and joy with God in the midst of the city, it's not going to be easy. He writes this: "We are living in a tragic century in which even the strongest people are tried in their faith. It's an epoch of idolatry, anguish, and fear. An epoch when power and riches have dulled in the human spirit the basic requirement of the first commandment of the law, you shall love God with your whole heart. What can we do to dissipate the darkness that oppresses modern human beings? How can we overcome the noonday devil who attacks the believer in his maturity? I do not hesitate to give the answer, which I myself have put to the test at a difficult moment of my life. The desert. The desert. The desert. I only have to say this word to feel my whole being rise up and move forward, even while physically it remains where it is. It signifies the awareness that it is God who saves, that without him I am in the shadow of death, and that to emerge from that darkness I must put myself on the path that he himself will show me. The word desert, so much more than a geographical expression that suggests to us a derelict, parched, and arid expanse of land with no one in it. Desert expresses the search for God in silence. It is a suspension bridge thrown by the soul in love with God over the dark abyss of its own spirit, over the strange, deep crevices of temptation, over the unfathomable precipices of its own fears, which form an obstacle to the progress toward God. End quote. It is perhaps in embracing the wilderness, even sitting with the seasons of trial, that we find God. There is an emptying of the self before God that is exactly what Jesus did. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says to us that our mindset should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself. When we are in the wilderness seasons of life, we may find that we are being emptied, that the things that normally bring us comfort are being stripped away. Such emptying is necessary before God can fill us. The story is told in a variety of religious traditions of a seeker who went to a holy man some years ago asking to learn how to pray. The old man said nothing, but proceeded to make a fire and to prepare some tea. When the tea was done, the man began to pour it into the seeker's cup. But he kept on pouring, even as the cup was full and the tea was overflowing down the saucer and spilling on the ground, and still he continued to pour, until the seeker said, "It's already too full." The old man replied, "And so it is with you. Until you are empty, how can you receive what you seek?" The wilderness seasons of our lives are not pleasant. But in them there is often a purging, an emptying that takes place, and if we will sit in the wilderness a while, such seasons can be a prelude to incredible spiritual growth, peace, and joy that accompanies the soul's growing awareness of the presence of God. To Christ be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever.